Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Donna Crowe. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm excited about this broadcast today. We have Sally Fallon as our guest. If you're not familiar with Sally, Sally wrote a book called Nourishing Traditions. And Nourishing Traditions is, it's just been such a blessing to me. I received this book back in, 10, 12 years ago. And, it's a cookbook, but it's almost like two books in one. You have the cookbook section of it, and then there's teaching sections on each page. And, boy, the information in there is just so empowering as far as your diet goes. You know, we have grown up in a society where our food is largely manufactured foods. You know, we're accustomed to eating the food that's on the grocery store shelves, and most people don't even know how to eat like you would have, say, 100 years ago. In fact, my concept of eating food like 100 years ago would have been that it wasn't very healthy food, that that it was like really limited diet or would have been boring and all that stuff. So I read Sally's book and I find out, it's just a whole world opened up to me of fermented foods and sprouting your seeds and nuts and that you can eat butter and that fat's good for you. And so if you haven't read that book, boy, I highly recommend that you get it, that you get a copy. It's life-transforming, it's empowering, and you find yourself eating foods that are satisfying. And where you used to diet can get really boring and constricted when you start taking out certain things that are supposed to be essential. And so we're going to talk about today. Let me just make sure that Sally's on the line. Sally, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can. You're very clear.
Okay, good.
I'm just introducing you here. Sally not only wrote Nourishing Traditions, but she wrote a book called Eat Fat, Lose Fat. And I was recently asked to speak at a women's meeting, and I was asked to speak on the topic of fats and oils. But they only gave me like 5-minute slot. I can tell you it was one of the most frustrating things in my life because it's a big subject, and
it
so
is.
We're going to move fast here today and try and cover this. But I have wanted to say that people are confused about fats and oils, but they're not really confused. They have really been trained to believe a lie is really what it is, and
yeah,
so people.
Yeah,
so they're believing that fat's bad for you, and the opposite is true. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about, here's one example. A friend of mine was talking to someone about diet, and this person's very interested in having a healthy diet. And my friend mentioned to her that she loves avocado. She eats like a half an avocado or even a whole avocado almost daily. And this person exclaimed, "Oh, that much fat?" You know. And so we want to talk about that. We want to talk about, are avocados bad for you? And we want to talk about canola oil and lard and some things like this. Just to introduce this subject, I want to mention an article Dr. Mercola wrote. It's called 7 Reasons to Eat More Fat. And most of the information, I think, in here, if not every bit of it, he got from Sally Fallon and Mary Enig. And so I'm just going to give you a really brief rundown of some of what we're going to talk about here. Saturated fat is necessary for a healthy cardiovascular system. It's essential for strong bones, for excellent liver health. It's essential for healthy lungs, for a healthy brain, for proper nerve signaling, and for a strong immune system. So we're going to talk a little bit about all these things today. So I just want to say thank you, Mary. Thank you, Sally, for being here
you're
today.
Welcome.
And we really, really appreciate your time. And I'm just going to hand this over to you. And let's talk about fats and oils. Is fat good for you or bad for you?
Well, if you had to put it in a nutshell in your 5-minute talk, it's everything that you're hearing in the media about fats and oils is wrong. And this has been a deliberate campaign by the vegetable oil industry for the last 100 years to demonize their competition and to get you to eat the industrial fats and oils. The industrial fats and oils are all of the seed oils, the liquid oils, which are full of free radicals and cause cancer and heart disease. And then the partially hydrogenated or artificially hardened oils, they have all sorts of ways to do this, which also cause heart disease and cancer. And yet most people think that these are okay and that what they should be avoiding is butter, lard, beef fat, coconut oil, and, you know, natural things like avocados and eggs and cheese,
yes,
and so forth.
Yes.
And nothing could be further from the truth. And the number one cause, I mean, there's many causes for our health crisis today, but the absolute number one cause is the wrong fats and oils, the switch from animal fats to vegetable oils. And, you know, this is like the lead pipes in Roman times, which caused health problems they couldn't understand and eventually infertility. And these vegetable oils cause infertility. You absolutely need animal fats to get pregnant and have healthy babies. And so it's like the lead pipes in Roman times, and it's eventually going to lead to a real crisis in our population. It already is a crisis with the high rates of infertility.
Yes, I noticed. I noticed that in some of your literature, and I personally have had contact with quite a few people who are just having a really hard time conceiving. And I know that we're floating in a sea of estrogen here, and that's part of the issue. But healthy saturated fats are essential to fertility, is what you're saying.
Yeah, healthy animal fats. There was actually a study which showed that women who consumed low-fat milk and low-fat dairy products had very high rates of infertility, and if they switched to high-fat dairy products, they could get, many of them could get pregnant. And the response to this was so, so awful. So the government and the spokesman said, "Well, okay, if you absolutely have to switch to full-fat dairy products until you get pregnant, and once you're pregnant, go on to low-fat again." And there's just no understanding or no confirmation that you need what's in these animal fats not only to get pregnant but to have a healthy baby. You need the cholesterol, you need the saturated fat for the baby to grow normally.
So when we're talking about saturated fats, I know this is a side subject that goes with this, but fats that you find in dairy, in butter and pasteurized milk, are those going to function for you as well as in raw butter or raw milk?
Well, you know, even pasteurized dairy products, if they're full fat, that fat is still good for you, certainly better than low-fat dairy products,
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, and there's other fats, too. I mean, egg yolks are just a wonderful food, much more important than the whites. And we recommend, you know, at least 2 egg yolks a day and as many as you want while you're pregnant and the preconceptual diet before you get pregnant.
I'm so glad you said that.
Egg yolks are our best source of choline, which you need for the baby to build its brain.
And egg yolks are loaded with lecithin, right? And so, you know, that helps them to be used properly in your body. I know I had a chiropractic, naturopathic doctor who was working with a bodybuilder trainer, and he ate several dozen eggs a day for several weeks, and they tested his cholesterol levels afterwards, and they were perfectly fine. So this is another area where people are fearful of a healthy food that's super nourishing to you, and so I'm glad you brought that up.
Well,
so,
that's the worst part of this cholesterol business. The whole cholesterol issue is phony. It's absolutely phony. I mean, I can say that without any hesitation. High cholesterol, I mean, over 300, is a very minor risk factor for heart disease. It's not necessarily a cause. And for the vast majority of people, you never have to worry about your cholesterol or eating cholesterol-rich foods. In fact, the tragedy of this cholesterol business is that it has caused people to shun the very foods that they need for a healthy heart.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I thought I lost you for a second. So, so what actually? Well, let's just talk about fat for the heart.
Okay.
Is fat good for the heart?
Yeah. Studies have shown that the type of fat that your heart needs most is saturated fat. That's the type of fat that kind of the heart is nestled in. And even a cow who never eats saturated fat in his life makes saturated fat and puts that around the heart. That's what mammals want around the heart, is saturated fat, because there's a lot more energy in saturated fat than unsaturated fats. And there's a lot more support from the saturated fat. So that's what your heart needs. You need saturated fat to protect your arteries. Saturated fat is stable. It doesn't react. It doesn't contain free radicals. Saturated fat supports all of the receptors and enzymes in your bloodstream. I mean, the list just goes on and on. We are warm-blooded mammals, and mammals have saturated fats in their bodies and their cell membranes, and they need saturated fat because they're warm. Cold-blooded animals like snakes and fish have unsaturated fats in their bodies. They need those because they sort of act like antifreeze for them. But warm-blooded animals need saturated fats. And if you don't eat saturated fats, then you're going to crave carbohydrates, because your body will make saturated fats out of the carbohydrates. The problem is, when you eat the carbohydrates, you're not getting anything but the carbohydrates. You're not getting all the vitamins that are normally carried in saturated fats.
Okay, so you eat a low-fat diet, you start
mm-hmm.
craving carbohydrates,
mm-hmm.
and then your body turns the carbohydrates into fat, but poor quality fat.
Well, it turns it into saturated fat. It's the same kind of fat that you eat.
But I mean,
saturated
poor quality as far as not having the same nutrients attached
exactly.
to it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, there's another fat that we get from animal fats. It's called arachidonic acid. And this fat is extremely important for the brain and for healthy gut and healthy skin. It's important for strong cell-to-cell junctures in your body. And the best, in fact, really the only sources are animal fats like butter, meat fats, and egg yolks.
So meat fats would be like the meat that's actually in like a steak or like lard?
Yeah, the meat that's in your steak, lard, which is pig fat, bacon fat, all of these are good sources of saturated fat and arachidonic acid. And by the way, lard, which is pig fat, is an excellent source of vitamin D, and we have this vitamin D
deficiency
problem in America. And that's because we're not eating the foods that normally gave us vitamin D.
Okay, so what we've been trained to believe from, you know, last 50, 60, 70, 80 years is stay away from the butter, and you'll live longer, you'll have a healthier heart. And so what we've seen in the U.S. is an increase in heart disease. And
exactly, an epidemic.
Yes, in other countries that eat high fat diets, are they having the amount of heart attacks that we're having?
Well, as a matter of fact, we have something called the French paradox. The French eat the most saturated fat of any European nation. They have the lowest rates of heart disease. And there are four or five other countries in Europe with very high levels of saturated fat consumption that have low rates of heart disease. So it just doesn't pan out with the world statistics. But what you have is this powerful industry. The vegetable oil industry is probably the most powerful lobby in Washington. And they control the newspapers. They control Congress. They control government agencies. And so we get it just constantly, their propaganda that animal fats are bad.
You know, them and the pharmaceutical companies, so they must be
right. In fact, one
fighting
piece the other.
To get in the door.
Yeah,
elbowing each other to get in the door. I noticed in one of your articles that it says that the University of Maryland said that from their studies, they found that vegetable fat consumption was correlated with cancer, and animal fat was not.
Yes, right, right. Well, this was work by Mary Enig back in the 70s. This is when the McGovern Committee came out with their report in which they said that if we're going to solve cancer and heart disease, we have to stop eating butter and use margarine and vegetable oils. And Mary protested this and looked at all the studies and found that they said just the opposite of what the McGovern Committee was claiming, that the people who were eating all the vegetable oils had more cancer and more heart disease. And the people who were still eating the animal fats had less cancer and less heart disease. So, I mean, the whole thing is based on a lie.
Absolutely. I understand that. all right, I had another quote here. So we found that people who ate the most cholesterol, ate the most saturated fat, ate the most calories, weighed the least, and were the most physically active.
And they
so
had the lowest, And they had the lowest
they
cholesterol levels.
Okay, but they ate the most cholesterol and had the lowest cholesterol levels.
Yeah.
So do you talk about this in your book, Eat Fat, Lose Fat?
Yes, I talk about it in both books, Nourishing Traditions and Eat Fat, Lose Fat. That statement came from William Castelli, who was head of the Framingham Project. In his official role, he was pushing margarine and vegetable oils and warning people about animal fats. But later on, after he retired from that study, he admitted in this little article, this obscure journal, that the people who ate the most saturated fat and the most cholesterol, the people who ate the most calories, weighed the least, had the lowest serum cholesterol, and were the most active.
I know in my own diet, people would be shocked that that I eat quite a bit of butter. I drink cream, and I'm slender, I know people who eat half or a third of what I eat, and they just pound it on. The weight just piles on, and I'm fully persuaded that a large reason is because they're avoiding the fats. There's another statement here that says...
let me just interrupt you there. One of the things that butter does is support thyroid function. And what you get with these low-fat diets, the thyroid gland doesn't work very well, and you have slow metabolism. So no matter how little you eat, you can't lose weight. So that's one reason that eating butter and cream...
That's excellent information.
Yeah,
that's
really
excellent. And I've always eaten butter So I think my thyroid's done better because of that. I noticed there was information regarding the Pritikin diet, which was, it wasn't just a low-fat diet, but that was one of the major components that people seem to glom onto. And this statement says, those who possessed enough willpower on the diet to remain fat-free for any length of time developed a variety of health problems, including low energy, difficulty in concentration, depression, weight gain, and mineral deficiencies. So it's just not a heart issue. Fat
no,
is
not
essential.
At all.
Okay, so let's talk about
why the mineral deficiencies? Because the vitamins like vitamin A and vitamin D that you get from animal fats are necessary for assimilation of minerals. And that was something that Dr. Weston Price stressed over and over again. You can be eating all the minerals in the world, but you can't absorb them without vitamins A and D. And we get vitamins A and D from animal fats.
Excellent. And so I'm thinking in terms of all the osteoporosis that we see in the nation. And pasteurized milk, which is my understanding that the calcium, the minerals that are in pasteurized milk are really not usable. So, again,
yeah, they're not used
that's
as well. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, not used as well. All right. So let's talk about difficulty concentrating. So what effect do the fats have on your brain function?
Well, first of all, good fats keep your blood sugar stable. And that's one of the most important things for being able to concentrate is having good blood sugar levels. Saturated fat is very necessary for the brain. Over 50% of the brain is saturated. And then 11% is arachidonic acid. Cholesterol, which comes from these animal fats, is critical for the brain to function. The brain is very rich in cholesterol. And then all the various vitamins that you get from eating the animal fats and vitamins and minerals all support brain function. Choline, which we get from egg yolks and animal fats, is critical for brain function.
That's amazing. So your head is full of fat.
Your head is full of fat, yes, yes.
So we're a bunch of fat heads. Okay, well, that's good. So just the building blocks for brain material is made from saturated fats.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. All right. So depression, how does healthy fats affect food?
Well, one of the things that helps us fight depression are, they're called endorphins. They're feel-good chemicals. And we have receptors for these endorphins. And to make the endorphins, you need vitamin A, which comes from animal fats. They're actually made out of cholesterol, I believe. And then the receptors for your receptor for these endorphins to work, you need cholesterol. So, you know, once again, all the things that we need for the brain to work come from these animal fats.
So low cholesterol, low-fat diet is can possibly make you vulnerable to
depression
or a lower mood. Okay.
Right. Mood problems.
Okay, and so energy. Let's talk about the energy aspect, physical energy and endurance.
Yeah. Well, there have actually been studies with athletes showing that they have far more endurance if they're on high-fat diets and high-carb diets. We just, biochemically, get a lot more energy out of fats than we do out of carbohydrates. I think it's about 4 to 1 that we get from the fats compared to carbohydrates. Yes.
Goodness, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
That's like trying to burn a log or throwing some lighter fluid on there.
It is. Right. Right.
Okay. Well, and fats are slow metabolizing, right? I mean, they slow down your metabolism. Let's see, how does that work? They slow down the time that your meal goes through your body, correct?
Right. So if you eat a meal of carbohydrates, you get a very big spike in your blood sugar and then a big drop in blood sugar.
Okay.
So you're likely to be hungry, really hungry, about 2 hours after that meal when your blood sugar drops. If you eat a meal with plenty of fats in it, you don't get the big spike in blood sugar. The glucose is released very slowly into the bloodstream. So your blood sugar remains more stable. And since you're not getting the big spike, you don't get the big drop off either. So you can go a lot longer between meals. And I learned this myself the hard way. I was what they call hypoglycemic. I would suffer from low blood sugar. And 2 hours after eating, I'd be ravenously hungry, and I would have to eat something. When I figured out about the fats, if I just ate plenty of fat with a meal, I can now go 7 or 8 hours without a meal. And this is someone who is severely hypoglycemic. And I cured it just by...
That's a big deal. Unless you've been hypoglycemic, you don't know what a prison it is.
It is. It's,
You know, you're sort of stuck. You got to be close to food all the time. And you don't just sort of lose a little energy. You start to get shaky and your brain doesn't want to work. Some people
pass out. Right.
And
yeah.
Yeah. It's, it
you
can
get
be
crabby.
Very
you get allergies show up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you said crabby, I started to think hormones.
Yeah.
How do fats affect our hormones?
Well, fats are, of course, the richest source of cholesterol, and all of our sex hormones, all of our adrenal hormones, are made out of cholesterol, and they require vitamin A to be made, and we get vitamin A from the animal fats also. So we're talking about estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. All of these are made out of cholesterol with the help of vitamin A. And then your adrenal hormones, which regulate your blood sugar, your blood pressure, mineral metabolism, which help you deal with healing and stress, these are all made out of cholesterol as well and require vitamin A to be made. So when you are avoiding animal fats, you're likely to run into hormonal problems, blood pressure problems, glucose problems, difficulty healing, and difficulty dealing with stress.
Okay, so I know you mentioned the vitamin A. What happens if you, like, say you eat a lot of carrots,
mm-hmm.
get a lot of beta carotene, but you are on a low-fat diet?
Well, you cannot convert the carotenes at all if you're not eating any fats. But even if you're, because those carotenes need fats to be converted. But even if you do eat some fats, without,
so they would be considered a fat-soluble vitamin.
Yes.
Or
well, they
fat
need the fat to be, yes, fat dependent
okay.
would be more accurate.
Okay.
But you know, a lot of people can't make that conversion at all. It's about 40% of women, 47% of women, cannot convert carotenes at all, and
okay.
we certainly
so
can't convert. We humans convert carotenes very poorly, and
so
to
you
get
really
adequate
need
vitamin,
the vitamin A itself.
You need the true vitamin A, yes.
All right. Okay, and that's contained in butter and
butter,
what else?
Egg yolks, liver, meat fats, seafoods, cod liver oil, fish eggs, fish heads, a big source of vitamin A. And they're in meat and fish and you know, those types of foods to a smaller extent. But
okay.
the traditional cultures that were healthy ate foods like organ meats and fish heads too, and they have very high levels of vitamin A in the diet.
Excellent. That's good information. Okay, I wanted to also talk about saturated fats and the liver.
Yes, saturated fats protect the liver. They protect the liver from alcohol, and they protect the liver from poisons like aspirin. I just had an article run across my desk today that the saturated fats protect the liver from, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, acetamycin. I think it's a pain-killing drug.
Right.
So we're getting a huge increase in liver failure and liver problems, and it's because people are not eating enough saturated fat.
So the saturated fat actually protects the liver cells from these medications?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, that's a big deal because, boy, gosh, so many people are on the pain meds, acetaminophen.
Well,
that
and why
about.
Are they on the pain meds? Because they're not healing. They're not eating enough cholesterol. They're not getting enough vitamin A. They're not getting enough saturated fat.
Okay, so healing. So it affects the immune system. Low-fat
yeah,
diet.
Yes, saturated fats support the immune system, and unsaturated fats hurt the immune system. And we know this because if you get a heart transplant or a kidney transplant, they tell you to use vegetable oils because they know that these suppress the immune system. They tell you not to eat saturated fats because then you'll have a healthy immune system. You'll reject the
no
organ.
No kidding. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. I never knew that.
So, you know, these things are known. These things are known and understood. They are known biochemically. They're in the scientific literature. That saturated fats support the immune system, unsaturated fats suppress the immune system. And yet we're told just the opposite by the gurus and the pundits and the spokespersons and so forth.
Well, when I was mentioning this broadcast to a few people and mentioning some of the content, the general response is, really? You know, it's like, fat, you know, fat's good for
well,
you.
Well, yeah.
It's the opposite world. It's like, you know, this alternate universe.
It's a liberating concept.
It is.
And one of the things you find when you allow yourself to eat butter and when you cook in lard and eat eggs and bacon for breakfast, your craving for sugar and carbohydrates, very often it just goes away.
It's absolutely true. I have to agree. And I know we're talking about fats and oils here, but I kind of want to go back to the raw milk, raw cream thing, well, because that's where you get a lot of it. But I did not do dairy for, gosh, you know, more than 20 years
because
I couldn't do the pasteurized stuff. Every time I'd put it in my mouth, I'd become a mucus factory and allergies, and it was just a mess. And
digestive problems, too, probably.
That that part wasn't too much of a problem, although it is for a lot of people. But
yeah.
when I began to do the raw butter and the raw milk, it was. I remember when I did my first cup of raw milk, it was like, I don't know how to say this, but it was like my body was going, yes, thank you.
Yes,
you know?
I know. You can just feel it.
It had such
in.
A sense of well-being, you know, and
yes,
I was like going,
right.
oh, my gosh, they, you know, yeah. sell this stuff on the streets. This is good. Yeah. And it has caused such a sense of core strength and just a quietness inside from doing
yes.
the raw milk and the raw butter. And so I highly recommend that if you're going to do butter, if you can find a source for cream, make your own butter. It's not that hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it. If you live in a state where it's available, I would encourage you to look for the raw forms of what we've been talking about here today.
Well, at the very least, your butter should be from grass-fed animals. The butter fat is a little bit sturdier than the milk proteins and is not quite as damaged by pasteurization. But
that's really
it's
good
very
to
important to have your butter from grass-fed animals. And Weston A. Price Foundation, which is the foundation that I set up and run to promote healthy eating, we publish a shopping guide where you can find sources for all these things.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. What would be the web address to get to that website?
Yes, it's westonaprice.org. That's WESTONAPRICE.org. And you can go right to our online ordering page and order a shopping guide. They're only a dollar, so we send it to you.
That's wonderful. That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Also, I'd like to mention, you know, where people can get your books, how would they connect with you to get Nourishing Traditions or Eat Fat, Lose Fat? How can they connect with you?
Well, they're both available on Amazon.
Okay, that's easy enough.
Nourishing Traditions is in most bookstores, virtually all bookstores.
Okay.
Then I have a website, newtrendspublishing.com. Which carries my book, Nourishing Traditions. It carries my DVDs, my seminars on DVD, and the other books that I publish.
Okay, so I'm going to mention this again because I know we have people on here that are impaired. So that's new, the word new, N-E-W, trends, T-R-E-N-D-S, publishing.
Yes.
And is that .com?
Yeah, .com, yes.
Okay, so newtrendspublishing.com, and she also mentioned Amazon, and Nourishing Traditions, again, she said, is available probably in most bookstores, certainly in
yes.
health food stores. I know the health
yes.
food stores in my town,
they're one of the most popular. Whole Foods will not carry my book.
Really?
So, yeah, just be aware, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
they're really
pushing a vegetarian, vegan diet, and...
And they also kicked raw milk out of their store, too, so that was disappointing.
Yeah.
I also understand that the fats are like, effective against cavities, and they're antifungal, or they can be.
Yeah, well, one of the things that you get in animal fats is vitamin K. And our number one protection against cavities is vitamin K. It's not brushing your teeth. It's not fluoride. It's vitamin K. If you have a lot of vitamin K in your saliva, you don't get cavities. So that's another reason to eat animal fats. Things like cheese, chicken liver, meat fats, egg yolks, butter, butter from grass-fed animals. These will be very rich in vitamin K. And that helps prevent cavities. Of course, you also need calcium and phosphorus in your diet, and these are available from dairy foods and meat mainly.
Excellent. That's really good. So they're anti-caries. So the vitamin K in there actually helps your teeth. Can it actually help, like, reverse, like, small
yes.
cavities, or is it? Okay.
Yes, it can. This is one of the things that Dr. Price found, evidence that cavities had been reversed when people went from the city back into their native diets and had plenty
wow.
of vitamin A, D, and K. Yeah, yeah. And,
well, that's
you know,
pretty
our
exciting.
teeth, our teeth are living things, and there's always a turnover going on with the cells and with the calcium and the phosphorus, and that's what vitamin K does. It helps you lay down calcium and phosphorus in the bones and in the teeth.
Yeah, we kind of tend to think of our teeth as they grew and now they're there. We don't necessarily
Like dead
them.
Objects. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't think of them like hair or fingernails or something that, or skin or any part of your body that regenerating.
Yeah.
And so that's really amazing news, I think, to think that that cavities could be reversed with healthy levels of healthy saturated fats.
Yeah.
That's amazing with vitamin K.
Well,
so
actually,
what
we recommend, there's two products we recommend, and we've had many people report on reversing cavities with these two products. One is a high vitamin cod liver oil, which gives you A and D, and the other is what we call high vitamin butter oil, which is made from the butter of grass-fed cows. And if you go to our website, westonaprice.org, you can read all about these.
I've had some of that butter oil, and I just can tell people, it was, again, it was like the raw milk thing for me. It was like there was something in my body that was just going, oh, yay, thank you.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so, it gives you such a sense of well-being, and I know that's because I was nutrient deficient in whatever was in there, you know, and my body was really happy with it. So
good.
I'm
good.
Glad to know about that. So, saturated fats as antifungals. How does that work?
Well, now there's certain types of saturated fats that act as antifungals, antivirals, and these are what we call short and medium chain saturated fats. We find them in small amounts in butter, but they're highest in coconut oil. And the book Eat Fat, Lose Fat is based on using coconut oil not only for candida and these kinds of conditions, but also because these short and medium chain fatty acids, the body never stores them. They're always used for quick energy. So this is a diet that boosts the metabolism.
Excellent. So once again, I grew up hearing, ooh, coconut oil is bad for you.
Well, that was the industry. First they went after lard, then they went after butter, and then they went after coconut oil. And it's really a shame because coconut oil is a healthy fat that they could use in processed foods. It used to be used in movie theater popcorn, and they couldn't even stand to have that business taken away from them, so they went after the movie theater popcorn. Now we have this horrible butter substitute that's used in the popcorn. It's made out of vegetable oils with these awful flavorings in them that have actually killed people.
Yeah, I recommend a large purse and bring your own.
Yeah.
Just not good. While we're on the subject of saturated fat, the coconut butter and stuff, I think people need to know that often when they, well, probably most of the time, when they do studies, the quality of the fats that they study is completely different. You know, for instance, coconut oil, the oil that they study is the stuff that you probably shouldn't use it for anything except greasing something. Compared to the extra virgin coconut oil.
Well, no, I think what happened is actually a little bit more complex than this. There have been studies where they gave animals only coconut oil, fully hydrogenated coconut oil.
Exactly.
And the animals had problems. The problems they had were problems of essential fatty acid deficiency. Now, the reason they do coconut oil in these diets is because it's the only oil that you can fully hydrogenate. That means you get rid of all the essential fatty acids. And it's still soft enough to eat. If you tried to do this with butter or tallow or something, the animals wouldn't be able to eat it. It'd be too hard. So they use coconut oil when they do studies of essential fatty acid deficiency. The problems that the animals develop are problems of essential fatty acid deficiency. They're not caused by the coconut oil. They're not problems that coconut oil would normally cause, but the coconut oil is often blamed for these problems in these studies.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted people to understand that when you read a study and it says that they, you know, irrefutably showed that coconut oil is bad for you, it's not extra virgin coconut oil that they're using. They're using the coconut oil.
It's fully hydrogenated coconut oil and no other fats on the diet.
And it's
so, they
so
don't get
altered.
Any,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so,
they don't get any omega-3 or any omega-6 in these diets. And that's how they studied essential fatty acid deficiency, was by using fully hydrogenated coconut oil. But then someone got the bright idea of accusing coconut oil of causing the problems.
Exactly. Okay, so let's talk about avocados for a minute. Are they bad for you? What kind of
avocados are wonderful food. They're rich in fats, very good stable fats, mostly monounsaturated, not so much saturated fat. They're rich in the kind of fats that are in olive oil, and they have a lot of vitamin E and so forth. But you're not going to get the unique vitamins that you get from animal fats from avocados.
So if you eat avocados, are you going to get fat?
The types of fats in avocados are the types of fats that tend to make people gain weight. The monounsaturated fats, that's what builds up in the fat tissues when you gain weight.
All right.
I'm not saying don't eat avocados. I mean, I eat avocados, but, you know, I don't eat them to excess.
All right. Canola oil.
That's an industrial oil. All canola oil contains a small amount of trans fats. It's highly processed. It's just not a good oil. Some people actually have severe allergic reactions to it.
And
I mean,
so,
there's so many other oils we could be using besides canola oil.
And canola oil is historically not an oil that humans have eaten, correct?
Well, yeah, that's not correct.
Okay.
Canola oil was originally called rapeseed oil. And humans have historically eaten rapeseed oil, freshly squeezed rapeseed oil, but in the context of a diet that has a lot of saturated fats.
Okay.
The problem comes when you use the rapeseed oil without saturated fats, or when you turn it into an industrial oil and it goes through all that high-temperature processing. But India, for example, used rapeseed oil. It was always ground fresh and, you know, right there at the householder's front door, so to speak. And then they had ghee in the diet, so it was balanced by the saturated fat in the ghee.
Okay, so let's say somebody wants to practically look at, they're going to cook dinner tonight, and they want to sauté. What would be their options?
We sauté in lard. If that's pig fat, we get grass-fed pig fat, knowing that we're getting lots of vitamin D. It's a very good fat for frying. It's very stable and tastes good. We use also bacon fat. I sometimes use duck fat or goose fat. Sometimes I fry in butter or ghee, and occasionally in olive oil. So there's all sorts of choices for you.
Okay, so what would be bad choices for sauteing?
Well,
or
bad
frying?
Choices would be any liquid vegetable oil except for olive oil. So canola oil, Wesson oil, you know, vegetable oils. And you certainly don't want to fry in Crisco or margarine.
So in your opinion, is there any positive use for Crisco or margarine or any of the vegetable oils that you normally see on the shelf in the grocery store?
Zero. And the only way we're going to get rid of them is if people just avoid these oils.
Just stop buying them.
Stop buying them.
Okay.
You know, I go to our little, we live out in the country here in Maryland, and I go to our local grocery store just because I have to get toilet paper and things like that. And there's about 1 foot of shelf space for butter, and that's way up high. And all the rest are these great big tubs of spreads. I mean, there'll be 2 or 3 pounds in these tubs. And everyone I see is either a decrepit and old-looking or fat, really overweight.
Well, we have, you know, an obesity epidemic, and how much of that do you think is related to our low-fat diet?
I think, or our wrong-fat diet, let's put it like that.
Wrong-fat.
It's very, very much related because these fats do not support thyroid function. They do not support healthy metabolism.
So in your experience, if people switch to these healthy fats, they see weight loss when they were having difficulty losing weight, or what have you seen?
Some people do. You know, weight loss is such a difficult thing. We don't understand it very well. Some people definitely do lose weight when they switch to the healthy fats. If they gain weight, then they need to cut back on the carbohydrates. But it's not hard to do when you're eating a good...
I know that this is only part of the picture. I mean, just your sleep pattern. If you don't get enough sleep, you start to crave the carbohydrates. And so there are other factors. But
that's right. That's right.
You know, with a book titled Eat Fat, Lose Fat, I'm guessing that...
I had a woman come up to me recently and... She had tears in her eyes. She said, I've lost 100 pounds on this diet. And she said it was easy. I was never hungry.
That's the beauty of it. You know, one of the things that I've found by adding these things to my diet is that I eat way less meat also.
Well, there's nothing wrong with eating meat, but you're
more
satisfied.
No, there's nothing wrong with eating meat, but my body was like, would kind of go into a panic and stuff without it. And I've been able to go several days without eating meat. And I'm, you know, I'm not an anti-meat person. I enjoy it. But I felt like I was missing something. I was trying to get it from the meat, and I couldn't quite get it done, you know.
Adding
the fats and the healthy fats, then I was more satisfied. It's like getting out of prison to go, oh, my God, I can eat food that...
I can eat these things that I want to eat, that my body's telling
exactly.
me to eat. And, you know, I've had a lot of people say to me, you know, I had, before I could allow myself to eat butter, I had to get over this feeling of guilt. People feel guilty for eating butter. It's almost like a religion, you know. You have to have this puritanical, low-fat diet, which people can't stay on very well, and so then they rush into the arms of all the pornographic foods, you know, the processed foods.
That's a great one. So how much butter do you eat in a day, do you think?
Probably 2 or 3 tablespoons total. I'm eating egg yolks, bacon fat. I eat the cheese, whole milk. But whenever I eat bread, I eat lots of butter on it. When I have cereal, I have butter on it. And, you know, when thinking aloud, it's probably about more like 4 or 5 tablespoons a day. And whenever I eat vegetables, they're swimming in butter.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's about where I'm at. So I'm thinking, okay.
My favorite is porridge with butter.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Cream of wheat, yeah.
So we talked about lard a little bit. I mean, where do people get lard? Can you go to the grocery store and buy lard these days? Or?
Yeah, unfortunately, the lard in the grocery store is partially hydrogenated. I get lard from a local farmer, but once again, if you get our shopping guide, you'll find sources for lard. I understand now that Whole Foods actually carries lard.
Okay, sounds good. One thing we didn't cover that I kind of wanted to is longevity. Is there any connection between butter and longevity?
I don't know any studies.
Or not just butter, but healthy fat.
Yeah. I keep a file on people who've lived to 100, and there's not one of them that's a vegan, and I don't think there's anyone that's a vegetarian. But they all have a good source of fat in their diet. We have the aunt of our office manager who's 100, and she tells me that her aunt eats bacon and eggs every morning. You know, she just eats good food. Yeah,
that's awesome. You know, talking about nourishing traditions, you know, I really wanted this broadcast to be largely about fats and oils because, again, people – you know, have had the propaganda from the manufacturers who are mainly interested in shelf life and, you know, sales.
That's right. Yeah, and a cheap fat. I mean, the vegetable oils are so much cheaper than the animal fats. So it's not just the manufacturers of the vegetable oils, but it's the whole food industry is
Absolutely.
Built on vegetable oils, yeah.
Yeah, you read labels and it's everywhere. So I really wanted to cover that, but I'd also like to talk about just your book, Nourishing Traditions, and things like fermented foods. You know, I never even heard of that until I got your book.
Yeah,
you know,
well, there's a lot of books on fermented foods out now, but definitely Nourishing Traditions was the first.
Yeah.
And this is something that all traditional diets contain, is raw fermented foods. I call them super raw foods, things like sauerkraut and pickles, chutneys, and even things like salsa and ketchup you can make lacto-fermented. And this is a technique that preserves the food and puts a lot of good bacteria in these foods. So you're always feeding the good bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract.
So I'm going to bring up a subject that's probably going to be amazing to some people, but I used to do probiotics in capsules, and for about a year I kept having an experience where I would start to feel like I was going to have a seizure, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out what the heck it was, and I finally narrowed it down to the probiotics that I was taking, and I suspect it's because they were grown on a fungus kind of thing, but
yes,
you know,
or MSG, yeah.
Possibility. I mean, they were supposed to be good quality and pure, but it was terrifying, you know, to have your body start to, like, wake out, you know, and to find out that it was a probiotic was pretty shocking. And so I get my probiotics, acidophilus and that thing, like, from fermented foods. And you mentioned sauerkraut. If you go into a grocery store, can you buy sauerkraut?
No, that sauerkraut will be pasteurized. So
okay.
You want to get the good raw sauerkraut. Well, it's very easy to make. I make it all the time. But once again, if it's widely available
now. And those recipes are in your book.
Yes. But if you get our shopping guide, there's the whole page on lacto-fermented, cabbage and pickles.
Yeah, and I know that there's a whole, I know a lot of people have heard of you, but I know that a lot of people I invited today have never heard of you. They don't know about fermented foods. They don't know that sauerkraut in the store is not real sauerkraut.
That's right.
Although there are a few sources. I know Bubby makes real sauerkraut.
Yeah, no, that's pasteurized.
Is it really?
Yep.
I'm glad I brought it up.
So you need to get the shopping guide and even mail order it. But honestly, these are so easy to make, and they're a lot of fun to make.
And other fermented foods would be like yogurt?
Preferably homemade yogurt from raw milk. Kefir, which is much easier to make than yogurt. A lot of people like that better.
Okay, so from these you get the probiotics that are, you know, essential for your gut health, which is essential for your entire body's health, right?
That's exactly right. The healthy body contains about 6 pounds of bacteria, friendly bacteria, and these form a biofilm that lines the entire intestinal tract. And that biofilm is 85% of our immune system. The biofilm makes vitamins. The biofilm makes feel-good chemicals, just the way our brains do. So, we talk about depression. A lot of feeling good has to do with the health of our gut bacteria.
And so if you're not eating fermented foods or you're not supplementing with probiotics and you've done antibiotics that kill them.
Yes.
You know, you're very susceptible to depression and all kinds of other things.
Absolutely.
A long list of terrible things. So you talk about this in Nourishing Traditions. You also talk about, sprouting nuts. You know, we've all heard of sprouting seeds. I had never heard of sprouting nuts.
Well, we don't
really sprout
them,
but you soak them.
We soak the nuts in salt water. For 6 to 8 hours, and you drain them, and you put them in a warm oven and dehydrate them. And this makes a nut that is so much more nourishing and digestible. We call them crispy nuts, and they take on a wonderful taste. And this has been one of the most popular things in Nourishing Traditions, is the crispy nuts.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And when I first read it, I thought, soaking nuts in water, it just sounded strange, and I couldn't imagine them not coming out like rubbery or something, but I did it.
Well, they
do
come out rubbery, but then they, they get crisp when you...
when you dry them. Yeah. I dried them in my little dehydrator, and they were just delicious. And
glad you liked them. Yeah.
Oh, they're wonderful. And this is another thing that we've been taught, don't eat nuts. You know, they're hard on your gallbladder, and so we have this fear of eating nuts. And so if you read her book...
They can be quite toxic if they're not prepared properly. Very hard on digestion.
Exactly. And so But once again, it's about eating nuts that have been processed properly or not, you know. And so you can learn about that in nourishing traditions also. Can you tell us a little bit about eat fat, lose fat?
Well, eat fat, lose fat, I did not actually publish that. It was a publisher who came to us and wanted us to do the book. And it's a weight loss book based on using coconut oil, but it has all the principles that we have in nourishing traditions. And it's had a real following, Eat Fat, Lose Fat. It's available in paperback, not very expensive on the Internet. So we also address the whole subject that we've been talking about today, saturated fats and cholesterol, in the book.
Excellent. Well, you know, I'm not receiving any money for doing this. The reason I wanted to do this podcast is because I want people to have this information. I talk to so many people that, you know, again, diabetes has gone up like 700% in a decade. You know, we just, United States is one of the biggest healthcare systems in the world, and yet we are the sickest nation in the world. And
it's not working.
There's no mystery.
Yeah.
There's no mystery to it. It's what we eat. That's the main thing. It's what we eat or don't eat. And
but the thing is, people think, well, it's my diet, and I'm going to change my diet, and they go on this austere low fat diet with lots of vegetables and things, and they can't stay on the diet because it's
not satisfying. It imbalances.
And so
things.
Then they're once again eating the junk food. Whereas if you go on our diet, which is, you know, rich and satisfying and delicious, but you have to get over your fear and guilt. That's the only problem.
Absolutely. Well, knowledge. Knowledge is, you know, the thing. You know, you have to read enough and understand enough to know that you're operating in truth. And the truth is, the diet that we have in the U.S. is not a real diet. It's never been a real diet. People have never eaten this way before.
That's
for
right.
thousands of years, they ate the nourishing tradition way. And
that's
it's
right.
a way, you know, and so there's, don't be afraid.
don't be afraid.
don't be afraid. So I thank you so much for coming. We only have like 2 minutes. I don't know if there's something that you wanted to say that we didn't cover.
Well, just to give you the websites again. It's WestonAPrice.org. If you want to go online to that website. If you're new, we have a tour for newcomers, and you can order our shopping guide from the website. And our secondary website is called realmilk.com, all about raw milk. And then my website is newtrendspublishing.com.
Yes, and the realmilk.com is where I found my source in my state for the raw milk and the raw cream. So if you're interested in those items, definitely go to realmilk.com. They can help you out there. And again, newtrendspublishing.com for
nourishing traditions.
Yeah.
And I have a seminar, a 5-hour seminar, which I sell from the website as well.
Oh, that's excellent. And then the title of that is?
It's called Nourishing Traditional Diets, The Key to Vibrant Health. And I have a 2-hour seminar called The Oiling of America, which talks about just this subject, fats and cholesterol, and why the whole thing is phony and you need to completely ignore it if you want to be healthy.
That's excellent. Excellent information. Okay, so we have 90 seconds left. I want to say, if you're listening online, if you're actually at Blog Talk Radio, Donna Crow, you'll notice a little button there that says follow. If you click on that, you won't receive notices all the time, but if we are doing a new broadcast, they'll shoot you an email and you can be apprised of that. and you can go to Fountain of Life Healing School for other information about classes that we teach. And while you're on the Internet, just scroll down and look at some of our previous classes. There's some really excellent teaching there that can help you and your family to increase your health or restore your health if need be. And I just want to thank everybody for listening. And thank you again, Sally. I know that you're very busy.
You're most welcome, Donna.
I really appreciate
very much.
It. Thank you. Okay. I have learned myself some things that I didn't know, and I thought I was pretty well read. So I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much,
okay.
And thanks, everybody. And stay tuned for new broadcasts. God bless everybody.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.